This episode is a two-part episode. If you enjoyed part one, please come back next week, Wednesday morning, for part two.
So anyways, we're talking, and so he stopped. Like, we're just talking like this, and he stops and like, hey, I just need to tell you something. They are afraid of you. And I'm like, who's afraid of me? And he's like, the voices in my head are afraid of you. And whenever you come around, they flee.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
In this episode, we have Jeremy Breton, a highly driven realtor with Keller Williams, servicing Lebanon and Lancaster counties. He was named the 2024 Rookie of the Year, and he's built his business on integrity, creativity, and putting clients first. But Jeremy's story runs deeper than real estate. Before this, he served as a parole and probation officer in Lebanon County, honing his skills in communication, advocacy, and problem solving. Outside of work, he's a proud husband of 14 years, father of five, and an outdoor enthusiast who values faith and family above all. In this episode, we'll explore how faith shapes his career and family life, how he leverages modern marketing and real estate, and how service remains the foundation of what he does. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm glad you could be here.
Yeah, I'm too. I'm excited. I'm excited for a good conversation.
I want to jump right into that. But first, how did you hear about the podcast?
I had a couple. Shane Manning was on here.
Yeah.
And I believe Fred Long.
Okay.
Two good buddies of mine.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Small world.
And every once in a while I listen. And I thought it would be a good opportunity. And I reached out and you welcomed me. So.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, man.
100%. And those guys are great. Shout out to Shane and Fred. Those guys are phenomenal. Great, like salt of the earth people.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Honestly, probably trust them with my life.
Yeah. You know, Shane is, five stones, their mission over there. Like real salt of the earth, like really trying, you know, the mission, the gym, but then there's a bigger mission beyond the gym, serving people, giving back, helping people train. Just really, really awesome to see, especially, cause I met him when his gym was in Lebanon City and then see the growth of it and what God's doing through that, through his mission has been really cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like from day one then.
I wouldn't say day one, but yeah, I met him. He worked at Pennsylvania Counseling. And when I was a parole officer, we met and we came friends through our faith. He was really into, growing his own food. And I did that for a little bit. And then, it kind of grew from there.
So you know his wife, Beck?
Yep.
Yeah, you know the whole group. So how do you know Fred Long from Long Brighton?
So I met him when he worked at the DA's office when I was at the probation.
Okay, small world.
Yeah. Right. And then God just brought us together. We built our relationship through that. And then he's doing great work with estates and helping people out when they're in a tough situation, when a family member dies and stuff like that. So,
100%.
Yeah. Those are two good guys. So I saw her, they were on it. Awesome podcast. And then, kept listening once in a while. So
thank you. Appreciate it. You know, I really do. I appreciate it. And for all the listeners, thank you very much for listening. Now off air, we talked about conversation. I kind of want to just start with that off the bat.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a real great conversation we're having. And you mentioned it at the top here. Say exactly what we said off air about conversations and social media and jump right in.
Yeah. So we have this with social media, we have this fake relationships, you know, and reason why I really like the idea of podcasts is it allows people to just have a long conversation and walls can just drop, you know. And then you can really get into, you know, issues that you have or whatnot. But with social media, you know, you might see someone, they went on vacation last week. You might see what they ate last night for dinner. But you really don't have this personal relationship with the person. And so, you know, you're explaining about one of your guests on the podcast that doors just started opening and she opened up to you. You know, it's because people like having conversations, and with today's technology, yes, it's good, but there are also some bad things about it because you don't really get to talk to people. When I was a kid, I would call up my buddy, hey, what are you doing tonight? You know, you want to hang out? Did you hear about this at school? Da 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 da. Now it's a quick text message. Hey, what's up? Or you know, it's very surface level relationships, and what we're talking, like, same thing with relationship with God. You might know there's a God. You have the faith that there's a God. But if you don't have that personal relationship with him, then, you know, it's just
surface level.
Yeah, it's just surface level, you know. So you don't really get to know people, know how they tick, learn about them, or where you can help out maybe in their lives. So
that's a great point. And I think it's, like, when you said that, I was, like, almost taken aback because social media is so prevalent right in everyone's life. And, you know, social is literally in the word social media, but yet we're not, you know, even though there's social media in everyone's lives, most people probably on it, you know, every day, you know what I mean? Multiple times a day, but yet friends, family, relationships, you know, partnerships, people, you're not really talking to them.
You're not engaged.
You're just saying like, hey, congratulations, or giving them a thumbs up or liking something. It's like, you actually call the person, and I think you're right. I think that's where you're seeing podcasts really take off, because podcasts have been around for years and years, you know. But now it's being able to have, like you said, a one-on-one conversation that's more than just a two-minute text conversation back and forth, you know?
Yeah. And I think, like, the lack – I think it really takes skill to have a conversation, and it's something you – with social media, obviously, you're not having a conversation. So, like you said, I did a thumbs up. They see the thumbs up, or you write a comment. Again, you have this surface level, I know what they're going on with their lives, but, like, just being able to have an open conversation, even, you know, with disagreements, like, you know, with, you know, everyone goes crazy, like, you know, you can't disagree. It seems like maybe my perspective, you can't disagree with someone and be friends with them these days. It's because there's so much tension, but why can't you just have agree to disagree conversation and still be friends at the end of the day, instead of just, I'm going to block them, or I'm not going to talk to them or anymore.
Unfollow them.
Know what I mean? It's just like, and that's, you have a fall of society potentially when conversation stops happening.
100%. Yeah. You know? That's it. It's all about having conversation. I think people kind of crave it without knowing that they do.
For sure.
Because it's like, okay, well, I've been on TikTok or Facebook or Snapchat or whatever, so I'm staying in touch with friends, family, relatives, whatever it may be, but yet you're not having those, like you're saying, in-depth conversations.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's why I think podcasts, are seeing a growth in podcasts. People are turning to long format where they can have in-depth conversations. They can talk about, you know, different life problems, because chances are something that's going on in your life, it might help somebody else, or the lessons you've learned along the way
can help
somebody. And I think, yeah, it's just interesting when you said that off air. I'm like, we need to talk about that. So I'm glad that we could, because again, it's all about people, you know, it's all about conversations, goodness, yeah, and relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without relationships, I mean, life would be a little boring. You know, you're in your cave or whatever, in your room, and you're just, oh, cool, they got a new dog. But like, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's almost too much technology. Yes, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
But you just lose so much. I mean, you really don't know your even neighbor sometimes, you know? Like maybe back in the day, it's like, oh man, I'm out of sugar. Let's go talk to Billy. I'm sure, you know, like
right. That is, little stuff like that. Yeah. That made a big difference. Yeah.
You know, I fall to it too. Like, you know, I had a neighbor maybe three doors down from me, and, you know, his wife passed away, and I was like, oh man, I didn't even know that happened 3 months ago. Like, but why not? Like, they live three doors down from me.
Right.
Like, you should know your community.
100%.
You know, you don't have to be best friends with them, but at least know, like, their wife passed away.
Yeah.
You know,
right,
so.
Right.
But yeah, so yeah. You know what I mean?
And like I said, I think it's with the times, and then we can move on from, because I don't want to beat it, but I think, like you said, it's technology's everywhere, social media's everywhere, and you kind of lose that, like, back in the day, right, like my grandparents, they knew the whole community, they knew everybody, great grandparents especially, you know, and now it's just like, I don't know if people are so busy they don't want to take the time, or they think, okay, I'm connected through social media, so I don't need to give that person a call, or I don't need to talk with them, you know.
I remember, so, like, you know, like you just said, you could be known in the community. Like, if I went somewhere, like, I could be guaranteed that wherever I was, they knew that I was a Breton. And if I did something wrong, by the time I got home, my parents would know about
already
it.
Knew. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, but now, I mean, now you don't have that. Maybe in some communities and stuff, but I would say overall, because of social media and stuff, like, that's probably a big thing that's missing.
Big. Yeah, definitely. Let's take a sip break real quick.
Cool.
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. Someone says, hey, I love you, or like, they listen to you, that goes a long way. Or, hey, you got this. Like, telling someone you got this, psychologically, like, hey, before you go up to give a speech or something in front of hundreds or thousands of people, hey, you got this, you know. It's like, yeah, you know what, I do got this.
Yeah.
You, like, believe in yourself more. And, I think just to be out and have the conversations, whether it's therapy for somebody or they just got to get something off their chest. Yeah, having conversations like this is huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, Jeremy, let's jump in, because I think the listeners are probably like, all right,
who's this guy?
Let's get to the conversation. Who is this guy, Jeremy? Let's talk about it. So let's start, like, where everything, I feel like, begins for you, faith and family.
Yeah,
right?
For
You're
sure.
a big faith and family guy.
Yeah, that's my foundation. So, like, I wouldn't be, first off, I know I wouldn't be this person I am without my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like, he changed my life completely, just putting all my faith in him. I would, you know, I say it jokingly, and you hear it from time to time, like, I would either be dead or in prison, probably. Like, I was, you know, before I found God, I was a lost kid. I'm originally from New Hampshire.
Okay.
And after I graduated college, I moved down here, because I was just lost, wasn't ready to be a grown-up, and just wanted to get away. And I had a buddy living down here, and I escaped down here. I'll say it now. Like, you know, I just pretty much graduated. 3 days later, I was down here. Like, didn't want to waste any time. Didn't want to grow up. Probably just running away from growing up. Mm-hmm. And I grew up Roman Catholic. Always believed there was a God, but it was like we were talking about before. It was that God, but no relationship.
Yeah.
And so I went through, you know, a couple years, and then actually I met my wife. And then she really introduced me into this idea of having a relationship with God. And then I accepted Jesus Christ for myself, took my own responsibility, my own relationship. And then from that, just completely blossomed. And that, like he's my foundation and I go from there. So yeah. like the standards I set with even my friendships or even business, that's my launch pad. And so, and then obviously my family, you know, my wife married for 14 years and my kids, I want to be able to, you know, leave, you know, you have this idea of like leaving a legacy and you think of like leaving this big business or money or anything like that. I really, when I think of legacy, like at the end of the day, like 100 years from now, I won't be here. You won't be here.
Right.
But the teachings I teach my kids, they're going to end up teaching their kids.
Yeah.
And so maybe my name won't be echoed in their house, but the teachings will be generational,
right.
You know, yeah. And so they might, you know, oh, look, you know, your great-grandfather Jeremy taught me this, but that probably won't be said, but, you know, treat others as you would want to be treated is going to be echoed down the line. 100%. And so that when I think of this legacy thing, that's my picture of it, you know,
yeah.
And that could last generations, you know, centuries. So,
right.
But yeah, God and family is definitely my foundation.
Your foundation.
Yeah.
So now how did you meet your wife? Cause you kind of said, you know, moving down here from New Hampshire, a little lost, you know, maybe trying to run away from growing up as, you know, as kind of we all, you know, go through a time where we're not sure, you know, but then you said you met your wife and she kind of guided you, it sounds like.
Yeah, so I met my wife at the gym. I was
Five Stones?
No, not Five Stones. Okay. It was New York Fitness in Elizabethtown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to, was that?
Lonnie.
Yeah, Lonnie.
Yep.
Yeah. Good guy. Shout out to Lonnie.
Yeah.
Need to get him back on the podcast.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I met her there. And I'll admit, I was at first chicken to go up to her, and she ended up approaching me, but... but yeah, so like I said, I grew up Roman Catholic and we started, hanging out and, she invited me to, LCBC at the main campus. And like I said, I knew there was a God, had no relationship, grew up Roman Catholic. So really like, ritual, sit down, stand up, do this hymn, right. do that, say that.
Yes,
so like my perspective of, you know, quote unquote church was a lot different than what I walked into LCBC. You know, I walked in, it was like a concert, you know what I mean? You have like, you know, worship music.
I've never been to one.
Worship music. Yeah. You know, then you have this preacher and then I was pretty like, didn't really know what to expect. So I was pretty just like chill and, it was fun. It was good. You know, it didn't, I don't think I acted like I was good, but I was something was poking at me. I knew something was poking at my heart. And now sitting here, I can say it was, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, cracking some, shell around my heart.
Yeah.
But no. And then, so we continued to go to that. And, you know, one thing, it's a funny story that, so one time the preacher was talking about, they were doing like this challenge thing, basically like how, you know, villages in Africa have to, you know, travel a mile in order to get water or eat certain food because that's all they have. And one of the challenges was the walk a mile with a 5-gallon bucket of water and then having to carry it back. Basically, it's like appreciate the good stuff that Americans have, right?
Yeah,
like we go in the kitchen and turn a faucet, right? So I was like, let's do this. And so, we ended up got 5-gallon buckets. I was living in Middletown and I've tracked a mile. We walked down to, I forget what river it was. We filled up these buckets.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, man, like we're pretty lucky, but you know, I just tell that story just because just how like we met. And I feel like she also says like, that's when I knew like you know, like I was something to, you know, hang out with, someone to hang out with, but
like you could be the one.
Like
so I got you. Yeah. And I think you know, it says a lot about, it seems like the more I do these podcast episodes, faith is how do I want to say it, a resounding like factor in people's lives that are successful. They have a very deep faith, you know what I mean? They're not just surface levels. I'm saying, and you know, it's interesting to see and hear the different stories and what people say, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think, well, I know God wants his people to be successful. I mean, you can, story after story in the Bible, all these, you know, quote unquote characters in the Bible, they were successful. They were rich. They had provisions, and God gave that to them, you know? And like, you know, you have, you know, obviously we have, you know, poverty in this world. And I truly believe that God does not want that for his people. Mm-hmm. Because you need, with our society of how our world works is, you know, to make impact, you need money most of the time to do that.
Right.
You know, yeah, you can have impact with your time and stuff like that. But in order to have time, you need to be able to, you know, have the time off, you know, to have provision. Oh,
100%.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. I agree that I feel that faith, that what I've seen too is like faith is, the foundation of any success. So,
success, yeah. Yeah. And what's your wife's first name?
Driana? Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, gosh, I'm trying to think, like, and you have five kids.
Yep.
What's it like raising five little ones?
Loud.
Wow. Yeah.
Loud. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. Loud. It's
so true.
It's loud, man.
I got two. It's so true.
No, it's good. It's hard work. You know, I'm not perfect, obviously. But it's fun, you know, watching them. You know, my oldest is 13, my youngest is 7, and so now, like, you know, we're moving with my 13-year-old, just moving into a different stage of parenting of, like, you know, I'm gonna give you some more leash. You know, we're out of like this training phase, right? So it's like, right, you know, first you're just trying to keep them alive,
right?
You know, keep the kids alive, and then it's like you're training them, you know, and then it's like, okay, now you sort of have to learn on your own. So like we're trying to learn on your own, but allow them not to make a mistake where it's detrimental to their future, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're in that phase now. We're just starting that phase, I would say.
Yeah.
So and it's fun. So especially being able to have like dialogue with them and be like, this is why I don't want you to do this or go there. This is why I don't want you to hang out with that person. This is what I see from my perspective and what I've seen growing up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like really cool. You know, quick example. So like, yeah, that song, like, I don't really, the 6-7 song. I don't know if you heard that like fad going around. Everyone's like 6-7, 6-7.
Yeah,
like,
yes. I've heard a little bit about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So he started
still hip to it, I guess.
Yeah. So he started like singing that and sang it. And I was like, hey man, like that's not the best song to be singing.
Right. Right.
And he's like, why? And I'm just like, well, let's break it down. So I ended up pulling up the lyrics. And it's like, you know, it's all like gangs or like street slang, street slang and stuff like that.
Tell me,
and like, I can't remember the specific, this was like a month ago. And, you know, just like slang for like a gun or something like that. But then I ran the song lyrics through ChatGPT, and I told ChatGPT to, translate the song in normal speaking language. And then I compared the two, and basically the song was like, you know, sticking someone up, robbing someone, high speed chase from the cops, and then shooting people. And I'm like, is this something that you want to sing about and glorify?
No.
And he's like, Dad, I'm like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, to be honest, I told my wife, I'm like, man, parent win.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I even fist bumped for you. I was like, yeah,
like, so it's just like being able to take the time, because like it's so easy to be like, no, I don't want you to do that. Why, Dad? Like, not. That's just what I said. But really, I don't. You know, you don't really learn from that. They didn't really learn from the reason why I said no.
Yeah.
So it's just like explain. This is why I don't want to do that. You know, and I was able to do that, and I was like, man, that was kind of cool.
That's cool, a great,
cool experience.
Yeah.
For me as a parent,
as a parent, you know.
Yeah. And then like I can, you know, if a situation comes up like that again, I can slow down because it's right. Mm-hmm. We have busy lives. No, I just said no. Don't worry about it. It's because I said so.
Right.
You know. But I was like, you just gotta slow down. Have this a relationship, and I feel like now he trusts me. So it like goes back to the social media thing of like having a true relationship, and it's like, yes, I'm your dad. But at the end of like I'm your friend, man. I want you to be the best that you can be.
Yeah.
And that's just something that, you know, in this family, we don't glorify violence. And no. So I don't want you to be, even though you might feel it's harmless, I don't want someone seeing you singing that and maybe portraying something on you, because that's not what a Breton does and, right. or anything like that. So
100%. And I think that maybe partially, you know, what's going on with society is maybe not enough people are explaining, you know, and they just go with it. And like you're saying, if your son or if my kids, you know, then that's like, okay, so if your kids know that their friend is being bad or doing something they shouldn't be, and then your kids join them, well, then they're kind of co-signing this behavior. And then all of a sudden the person that was doing the bad behavior, their friend or whatever, thinks, okay, it's okay to do that. You know what I mean? Because, well, now, you know, Breton, you know, I don't know their names, but now, you know, so-and-so agrees with me. So now it's like, oh, okay, it's not that bad. Yeah. But it's like, no, man.
You're agreeing with your silence. Yeah.
That's a great point. Exactly. Yeah. And if you can educate, instead of just saying no, like as a parent, you know, we try to explain, because my daughter Parker, she's at the age, and listeners, you know, and some friends and family stuff, like, she starts to question things. Like, well, why, mama? You know, why, dad? So then you gotta explain it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I don't just like saying no. I try to give her a reason, or like, well, we're going here. Oh, why are we going there? It's little things like that. But you know, obviously, she's not listening to any kind of you know crazy stuff like the music wise. But yeah, I think if you can explain it, I feel like there's a saying too. My memory's awful, but if you tell someone, you know, pretty much if you tell someone, they will forget it. But if you show them and teach them, they will remember it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, yeah, that saying, like, you know, give a man a fish or teach him to fish, you know.
There you go. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very similar. Yeah. Exactly. So talking about gang violence and stuff, some of your background, you know, like we mentioned, you were a parole and probation officer.
Yeah. For the county. Yep.
For the county. How did that experience, like, affect your worldview, your faith? What was it like? Because I've never had on a parole or probation officer. So, like, what was that experience like?
Yeah. So, I chalked my career, my law enforcement career, in like a couple sections. So, like, when I first started, I went to college for criminal justice. So, my bachelor's in criminal justice. Okay. I wanted to be a police officer. And
where'd
then,
you go?
Plymouth State University in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I grew up in New Hampshire, went to school there. And so, after I graduated, I wasn't mature enough to be a police officer. I knew that. So, when I started probation and parole work, it's obviously a lot different than being a police officer. Basically, when someone's on parole, that's when they're released from jail and have some stipulations from their sentence. And if they're on probation, they have stipulations that they have to finish, or they could be sent to jail.
Okay.
So I would supervise both people, both type of sentences. And so when I first started, I was pretty strict. Like, these are the rules. This is what you need to do. If not, then there's consequences, and the consequences are you're going to go to jail. Yeah,
makes sense, right?
Yeah, right. Pretty for me.
Cut and dry.
You know, do this, don't do that, and you're good.
Right, right.
But you know, it's pretty wild. Like, those simple instructions, you know, people just didn't like to listen. And so, I really became jaded. I really became cynical. About, like, you know, man, like, what the heck is going on? You see the same people in and out. It's just like, this isn't that complicated, you know. Follow these rules, be home at this certain time, find a job, pay your fines, don't do drugs, and you're good to go. But it just seemed like, you know, hopeless, to be honest. And so, for a good season, I was pretty, oh, you do this, oh, you're going to jail. Didn't really think much of it, to be honest. And, you know, just, it is what it sort of is. And, you know, you start getting this reputation of, you know, a hard butt, you know, or, you know, strict. And you get a reputation in the jail. Oh, you don't want Jeremy as your PO. You don't want this. Like, you know, who'd you get your PO? And it's like, you know.
Yeah.
So I started getting that reputation. And then at that same time, though, really, like, I started also getting a relationship with Jesus. And so I came, and it was so like when I started growing my relationship with Jesus, I felt like my middle phase was, I don't want to call myself, I was like lenient or soft, because I always, through my whole period, like, these are the rules. If you don't do it, there's consequences. Mm-hmm. But before, I didn't really think much of it. Like, these are consequences. It's, you know, it is what it is. You know, no conversation about it.
Right.
But then I tried to find this balance, and it wasn't like an overnight thing. But I was trying to find this balance of like, where can I bring Jesus into this? You know, and if Jesus was a parole officer, how would he, you know, what would he do?
Yeah.
And so like trying to like, you know, even someone was going to jail, like, you know what, you're going to jail, but like, this doesn't define who you are. And then so like, by the time I left, I felt like I had a really good balance of being strict, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But then showing compassion at the same time of like, listen, this doesn't define you. This isn't who you are. You just made a bad mistake. And worldly, there's a consequence to it. And the consequence is, just, you know, you're going to be going to jail for a little bit. But when you get out, that's your time to like make a difference.
Yeah.
And try, you know, and, you know.
It's almost like a second chance, I'd imagine. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
you know.
Second chance to get it right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I really think that. So that period, you know, that's when I ended. But, you know, I hear stories, you know, I'm still in good contact with people I used to work with and whatnot. And, mm-hmm. you know, I hear stories of like, man, Jeremy was an awesome guy. He was an awesome PO, which you don't really hear. Yeah. I didn't really hear that much while I was there.
Okay.
But I really got, you know, during those years, like there was times where, you know, I saw a door where I could pray with someone, you know, yeah. give encouragement to someone. You know, I also had some kind of wild experience with what I like demonic people were possessed and yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So
well, you got to tell me about it a little bit. What do you mean?
Like, so, not like any exorcist or anything, stuff like that.
Okay.
But, I had this one guy on supervision, and obviously I have to leave, I'm going to leave names out and stuff, but, yep. I had this one guy on supervision was very involved in drugs, so he's definitely has opened door up for, you know, the supernatural to come in.
Yeah.
But like, you know, unfortunately, you know, if anyone has driven through Lebanon City, you'll probably see, yeah. you know, people on the street corner talking to themselves, you know, really like walking weird, stuff like that. You could chalk that up to a lot of different things, mental health, drug use. I also feel there's a spiritual component to it. For the story's sake, I had this guy on supervision where, you know, he would be on the street corner yelling at the sky, doing his thing, and I would always get calls of like, hey, you need to go check your guy out. He's on the corner again. And so I would go, and I walk up to him. I pull up. I see what he's doing, but then as I walk up to him, it like a light switch changed, and like he would be talking to me like I'm talking to you right now.
Oh, like normal. Like normal.
Everything's fine and everything's good.
Yeah.
Didn't really think much of it. You know, I do my parole thing, drug test him, talk to him, do my stuff. And he, like during our meeting, so as a parole officer, you have to, if you're on parole or probation, you come into the office, do your check-in stuff, drug test. But then we would also go out to people's homes.
Okay.
And make sure they're following the rules of supervision and doing their stuff. And so it's just like, you know, like, dialogue with him, learning about him, talking to him. He even admitted, like, you know, he would hear voices, he was possessed, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, on the spiritual side, you know, with my, you know, beliefs and whatnot, you know, talking to him. And now people could, like, chalk it up where, like, oh, he knew you were religious. He was, you know, trying to get favor on you, stuff like that. But, like, you know, I know, like, I'm not ignorant. Like I know, you know, unfortunately people are going to try to manipulate their officers to be lenient on them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, this is a guy having conversations with me where I've put him in jail also. So it's like, he knows what I'll have to, what if I have to do something, you know? Yeah. So I didn't really feel like he was trying to manipulate. Maybe he was, but I didn't feel that way. So anyways, he even admitted like, hey, you know, like, he's opened the door up. He knows his drug use can open the door up to spirit. And he would hear voices. So anyways, we're talking, and So he went, then he stopped, like, we're just talking like this. And he stops and like, hey, I just need to tell you something. They are afraid of you. And I'm like, who's afraid of me? And he's like, the voices in my head are afraid of you. And whenever you come around, they flee.
Whoa.
And I'm like, whoa. I'm like in my head, I'm like kind of blown away. I'm trying not to like drink the soup of like, you know, maybe he is trying to get, you know, me to be leaning on him. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I'm like, you don't hear any voices now. And he's like, no, they're gone. But I know as soon as I leave, I'm going to start hearing them. But he's like, they're afraid of you. And,
got to get a little goosebumps there or something. You know?
Yeah. So it gets a little bit deeper. So too, so we're talking and at that same time, so I've had in my knee, I've had two ACL surgeries and I've had a meniscus surgery.
Okay. Well, hold on before you go. What happened? Just, you're not an old guy.
No, I'm not. So first ACL. Sports or running? Yeah, sports. So first ACL was on lunch break at work, tore my ACL playing basketball. Oh, the second ACL, 13 months later, I was chasing someone, hopped over a fence, landed, and it popped out again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the meniscus surgery was just arthritis cleanup and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Gotta give a little background there because that's not everybody.
Yeah, goes, you just drop the bomb and leave.
Yeah.
So I still have like, you know, issues from that from time to time. And at that time though, I was having issues with my foot. Like it was weird. It was, I would have just sharp pains in my foot. It would go up to my calf and I didn't really tell anyone about it. Didn't want people to think I was hurt. And I didn't want my, you know, people on probation and parole to think I was hurt so they could, you know, if I had to like wrestle someone or whatever, they, you know, could take advantage of it. So I didn't say anything. No, I wasn't walking with a limp, doing anything like that. And so on that same meeting or whatnot, you know, I wrapped up, you know, he finished telling me the story, like, you know, they're afraid of you. Like basically he was like, keep doing what you're doing as, you know, believing in God and stuff like that. And so anyways, we ended that conversation. He left, I was getting ready for my next appointment and he came right back in and he was like, I also need to tell you one more thing. He's like, watch out for your feet. They're trying to get in through your feet.
What?
Yeah. And I was like,
that's goosebumps.
I'm like,
hair on the back of my head standing.
I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, just watch out. They're trying to get through your feet. And so obviously I didn't be like, oh my, I wasn't like, whoa, I have foot pain. Yeah. I was just like, well, yeah, I'll keep that in mind. Thanks. He left and I'm like, what the heck was that?
Right.
Like, that is wild. And so like, what? Anyways, I actually forget why I came into that story, but
I asked you about your, you know, your time as a pro officer and stuff, and then you know, sharing like a story of you talk about supernatural,
So that's wild too. I got another quick one.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, I want to hear it. But so, did you ever have another interaction with this gentleman that?
Did
he ever bring anything else up about like the supernatural stuff?
On and off, to be honest. So, I mean, he said all that stuff and then he left and then I had, you know, some more interactions with him and then he ended up going to jail and then I, to be honest, ended up leaving.
Yeah.
Leaving probation and parole. And so I really don't, to be honest, I have no idea where he is right now.
So he just left you with that, like, and that
I like had more interactions after with him with it and like I ended up arresting him.
Yeah.
Down the road because he violated his supervision and then during his and then I ended up leaving. Yeah,
it's just, it's wild because it's like the voices are scared, like they're scared of you in his head. So it really is like a good and evil, you know what I mean?
For
like
sure.
A light and dark.
There's definitely, even like even now in this room, like there is another realm that we don't even recognize or know. I truly believe that, and people, you know, you might hear that and be like, wow, this guy's kind of crazy, but no, I like truly believe.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that he's like there, because I imagine once you're done with a meeting, people don't normally come back and see you. They're kind of like,
no, they're out. They're like, yes, that's over. And he left. He was walking down the hallway. I would assume I was in my office, like just getting ready, typing some notes up. And like, I was surprised he came back. Like he came back and I'm like, yo, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, like, what, is he going to come and attack me or something?
Throw down,
And he's just like, listen, Yeah, and he's like, they're trying to get you through your feet. Yeah, so it's like, wow. Yeah.
But no one would know that you had
an injury. No one knew. No, even the people that it worked with, like, they didn't know what was going on.
That's wild. Yeah.
So it was weird. A little quick, another supernatural story. Please, so this will be quick. So there was one day I was covering the office, and right before, so I was about to, I noticed I had some voicemails on my phone. And so I was about to go do my voice, get my voicemails, and the intercom went over, and they asked for an officer to help someone at the front desk. So I didn't do that, and I went to go handle this. And there was a guy, you know, had some mental health issues, and try to explain it the best way I could would be like, it would be hard to, the way he talked was hard to kind of understand him. You had to like really listen to what he had to say and to like then translate it in your head to like, okay, this is what you're saying. So like he was talking to me about some random stuff that he needed to tell his officer. Then I was like, okay, yeah, I'll tell him, I'll write him a note, I'll send him an email. And then, so he went from that like sort of, I guess best way, sort of gibberish talk, you would say, to a normal voice, like I'm talking now, and was like, did you check your voicemails? I'm like, what? He's like, you have 3 voicemails on your phone. Did you check them? And I'm like, yeah. And like, I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I had 3 voicemails on my phone before I went to answer his call in the duty. So it's like,
what?
Yeah, wild. And I was blown. I was like,
How would he know?
He would have zero idea.
Zero chance of knowing.
And that was wild. So it's just like there is supernatural stuff going around us that we have, you know, little knowledge of. But
well, you said it's good and evil, light and dark. You know, there's always battles going on. Now, was there any other, like, real quick, and then we get off of supernatural
because
I want to get into the real estate. I want to pivot to that. But like, has there been any other things in your life, like when you were a kid, did you see? Did you see things? You know what? Like,
no, I mean, no, I didn't. I'm not a seer. I don't see. Okay. I haven't seen any ghosts. I haven't seen any things move or wild stuff like that.
That's just crazy.
It is. Yeah. It really opened my eyes of like, okay, like, yeah, like this. Yeah, like you said, this good and evil, angels, demons. Like it's legit. I totally believe it. So,
yeah.
You know, there's definitely sides to, and there's definitely a line. You know, it's one side or the other for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that's mind blowing.
It's pretty wild.
That is pretty wild.
So like that foundation is just the foundation of God, and is really how I want to like live my life based off of, and whether that's being a husband, raising kids, you know, owning my own business, interacting with people. Like I always, like even walking in here, I did a quick prayer of like, allow me to glorify you in any way. Allow my words to just glorify, if I can glorify you just a little bit, just allow me to do it.
Yeah.
You know, get me out of this room, put you in it. So, that's just what I try to live my life by. You know, I'm obviously not perfect. No one is, but you know, you just go from there and learn from it. So.
Wow. So is that the point is that the turning point where you pivoted into real estate, or how did you get to where you're at now? Stay tuned for part 2. Next week. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors. A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients. Proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with 2 kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-7000. 3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.